Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
God has been good to us. You may not think you don't have anything to be thankful for, but just look around you. And I'm sure you will find something to be thankful for. For God is good, not just some of the time, but all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. So let us be ever thankful. The scripture was read for your hearing this morning from the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, starting with verse number 13, and he read through verse 14. We're going to be looking at verse 14 in particular, but this morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous Father, the wonderful One, the Creator and Maker of all things in and on this earth, including this earth. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us to not only wake up, but to get up and get ourselves ready and come to your house, O Lord. We thank you for the sleep we enjoyed last night, and we thank you for the food we had this morning. We thank you for the air that we are still breathing this day, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for the weather as it stands, whether it be warm or whether it be cold. We thank you just the same. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who are here this morning in this auditorium with us. We thank you and pray for those who may not have been able to make it this morning, especially those who might be sick and unable to get here. We pray for those who may be traveling, that if it be thy will, that you would give them safe passage, that they may return at the next appointed time. We thank you this morning, and we're still praying, O Heavenly Father, for those who are suffering the loss of a loved one. We're praying and asking you to strengthen those family members, O Lord, that they may continue to carry on. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your Son Jesus, who went to yonder's cross, hung, bled, and died, that we might have the right to the tree of life. We thank you and we continue to pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in need this morning, those who are without, and especially those who are raising their children this morning. Thank you for everything, O Heavenly Father, and we thank you in particular for your Son Jesus, once again, as he marched up Calvary's hill to the cross. Thank you for everything, O Lord, and it's in the name of your Son Jesus we continue to pray and ask all blessings, Lord. Amen. But before I forget it, Sister Dorothy Welch has asked that the church wants to thank the church for their prayers and ask that you continue to pray for her and Sister Maddie Taylor, her mother, the mother also of Sister Virginia Taylor. And they have decided that they are going to stay in Tennessee as they have traveled down there. So let us continue to pray, and she wants to thank the church. So let us continue to pray for that family, that they may continue to, that Sister Taylor may continue to get better, and that everything would be well with them. So let us remember them. And also in your bulletin, continue to pray for, of course, the Davis family, but also the McFarland family who has lost a loved one as well. Continue to pray for each other. Continue to pray for each one of us. As I always say to you, I'm going to pray for you whether you pray for me or not, and you do the same. Continue to pray for everyone. God is good and always. This morning, we want to talk about the truth, and we want to talk the truth about truth. Truth is the opposite of a lie. It has been called the whole truth and nothing but the truth. On the other hand, some folk have described a little lie as a white lie. Some have even decided that a lie can sometimes be considered a half-truth. But I suggest this morning to you that a half-truth is really just a whole lie. For hundreds of years, people have scorned and searched for the truth. They have raised the question, where can we find truth? Certainly the news media will not always give you truth. Certainly the internet is not always going to be truthful. The business world or even your family members are not always going to tell you the truth, for they too may lead us astray. So is there any place or anyone of whom we can go to or we can rely on for truth? Yes, there is one who we can count on to lead us to the truth. We can count on that someone, and that someone that we can count on is God and His Word. So we want to look at the truth as being universal. The God we serve is the God to whom we can always be sure, who will give us truth. In Romans chapter 3, around verse number 4, where Paul is answering objections from some of those Jewish people of that time regarding the truth, he said this. He said, "Let God be true, but every man a lie." The same is good for us today as well. God is truth in everything He speaks. The psalmist said way back in Psalms number 116 and verse number 11, "All men are liars." Now, I'm not saying that you are a liar this morning, but if all men are liars, I think that kind of lumps us in one category, does it not? We're not perfect, so each man must decide before he answers a question or before he answers another person. He's got to decide whether I'm going to tell the truth or whether I'm going to tell a lie. Each one of us must consider before we answer or speak that we not only gain a reputation, but we will gain a reputation. It'll either be that we are a truthful people, a truthful person, or a lying person. All men are liars once again, and lying is like a crutch of the devil. Lying is a crutch of the devil, of whom he used against Eve back in Genesis chapter 3. He used a lie to break Eve down and cause her to sin way back in Genesis chapter 3. And the world has been lying ever since. The world has been on a tear to tell a lie. And sometimes when people lie, they don't even know that they lied because they lie so much. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18, the Bible said it is impossible for God to lie. So if you want the truth and you want to know the truth of the truth, it's all about God. It's all God. The truth of men many times are like more and more lies. Lies and people. Some people tell lies just because they can tell lies or because they want to tell lies. But God cannot and He will not because of two immutable things. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be a great joy if men didn't lie? Wouldn't it be a great joy if men just told the truth all the time? The world would suffer much less in heartaches. The divorce rates would fall. The economy would improve, all because people did not tell lies, and everything would just seem to get better. Do you recall Ephesians chapter 5, around verse 9, where it talks once again about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth? That's one of what we should be listening for and what we should be hearing. We should consider God and His truth. Look at the text, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 13, verse number 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, I'm not going to dress you this morning with the whole armor of God, but I just want you to look at verse number 14 there, where it styles truth as a belt. And Lord knows some of our young folk could use belts on their pants today. But nevertheless, we've got to recall that God's word is truth and that God is truth. And no matter how you cut it, God will always be truthful. God is always the true one. And we as Christians need to look at this matter a little deeper. If I met you out on the street, and I said to you, "Such and such thing is the truth," and you go behind me and you find out that I haven't told you the truth, then I develop the reputation as a liar, do I not? And what does God hate? A lying tongue. So God hates a lying tongue. So we've got to learn that truth is universal. No matter what language you speak, no matter where in the world you may be, when you tell the truth is the truth, and there's no getting around truth. When you think about it, church, when you look at this matter a little closer, being a Christian means that I base my life on truth. The truth that Jesus Christ lived and died for us because God sent His Son to live and die for us because God loved us. And I know that some of us, we're not lovers of people. We don't love one another. We don't love one another like you should. Oh, I know you love your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your boyfriend. I understand that. But we've got to learn to love all people. We've got to be learned to love mankind in general. And I told you this before, but even our enemies we have to learn to love. And that's a hard thing to do. Not only is the truth universal, but Jesus is truth as well. Jesus brought us both grace and truth, and no one but He could have paid the high cost of atonement. Nothing else except, or no one else except Jesus could have shed His blood. So look what He said in John chapter 14 in verse number 6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by Me." Jesus is the only way by which man can get to the Father. And it's because of Christ that men have the opportunity afforded to them that they may come and come together with God the Father. He further states, He is the truth. Not just a falsehood, but the truth. Truth, in order to know the truth, we must know Jesus. In order to know the truth, we must understand and serve Jesus. But what it all comes down to can be found once again in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, that God so loved us all that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, you know, when you look at that matter a little bit further, God had an awful powerful love for us, even though we were liars, even though we were swindlers, even though we were cheaters, even though we were adulterous in our ways and actions. But God still loved us enough to send His only Son into this world to hang, bleed, and die for us. This means that Jesus saved us and gives us the opportunity to get to heaven. He became sin for us and truth to us. Jesus became and is for us the living way. He was the Word in John chapter 1 and verse number 1. But by John chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible lets us know that He became flesh and dwelt among us. He was full of grace and truth. Truth is an important component of the Christian life. And we should adhere to the truth. We are to rejoice not in iniquity, but in the truth, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 6. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, we are told to think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and praise, think on these things. Paul asked this question in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 16. He said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Some folk don't want the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They think that the truth is a lie, and they think that a lie is the truth. But I tell you something, there is only one truth. There is only one truth, and you cannot get around the truth. The truth will stand when a lie will fall flat on its face. Truth is the foundation of a Christian life, and it must be presented whether it's good or bad as long as it's true. In Proverbs chapter 12, around about verse number 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God hates a lying person. But they that deal truly, truthfully are His delight. So truth must be told. And just out of curiosity, when you think about it, you have to ask yourself this question. What do I gain by telling a lie? What do I gain by continuing to lie? I found out some things in my life. The truth will stand by itself, but a lie needs a crutch. A lie is a crutch, but it also needs a crutch. A lie needs a crutch in order to prop it up, because if I whispered something in Brother Miles' ear, by the time it got to the back door, I'd have to defend it because it wouldn't come out the same. So a lie cannot stand, and the old saying goes that the truth is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The truth is also indestructible. The truth is not meant to be only for a moment. Truth is forever, according to Psalms chapter 146 and verse number 6. God keeps truth forever. So that means that the truth is indestructible. It's not going anywhere. When our time comes and we must stand before the judgment bench, the judgment seat of the Lord, we must ask ourselves, how could I have said those things when the truth was not in me and I told a lie about this or about that, when I know that the truth is going to be forever? The church must keep on preaching, and we must preach the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says, the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now, who is the living God? That's Jesus. The pillar and ground of the truth. Oh, we've got to keep preaching the truth. And when it doesn't sound right, when it doesn't fit what my ears want to hear, we still have to tell it if it's the truth. We must tell the truth, and we must continue to tell the truth. If you're in a church where the truth is not being preached, that's not the ground of truth, and you need to look for higher ground. We as individuals have responsibility. We've all got responsibilities. We have individual responsibilities as well. Not only the church must preach and teach the truth, but we as individuals, we need to know the truth. And Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse number 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, if you will. We need to keep in mind, especially those who proclaim the gospel. That's the teachers and the preachers who deliver the gospel. We've got to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 16, where Paul wrote, for though I preach the gospel, I am nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. When we who are preachers fail to preach and fail to tell the truth of God's word, we're not only putting our own soul in jeopardy, but we're putting the souls of the rest of the people in jeopardy as well. This is why I'm glad today. I'm glad today that our text of Ephesians 6:14 presents that truth as a belt. You need a belt to hold up things. Now, you need a belt. A man needs a belt to hold up his pants, just as a woman needs a belt sometimes to tie around her dress, not only for style, but to keep the dress in check. So the truth is styled as that belt. Look at the text again. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That's verse 13. I want verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when you put this belt around you, if a man puts a belt through his pants, it's usually going to hold them up, unless he's lost a bunch of weight or something, or the pants are too big for him. But even a size pants that's too big can be held together with a belt. So I'm letting you to know here, I'm trying to draw a picture here for you to let you know how deep the truth really is. So when you put on this gird your loins with this belt of truth, You are tying yourself in, so to speak. You are bringing your body together and you're making the truth out of what the world sometimes called an untruth. You're making yourself being honest, in other words. So we've got to learn that if that belt of truth is not worn, we've got to learn to put the belt of truth on. That we may gird our loins with this truth is a wonderful thing, because it paints a clear picture of life. What if Jesus had lied his way out of the cross? You understand where I'm going with this? If Jesus had lied his way out of the cross, where would we be? What if God had lied to the Jews and allowed them to drown when he told them, it's okay, go through the Red Sea, I'll part the waters? What if he had lied when he told them to do that? Then they too would have been drowned, just like Pharaoh's army was drowned. Thank God that he cannot lie. Thank God for Psalms number 100 around verse number 5. For the Bible says, well, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Oh yeah, the truth will stand. How many times have you told a lie and you regretted telling that lie? Just a little bit later on, you said, if I had told the truth, I wouldn't be in the trouble that I'm in now. How many people face the courts each and every day in this world? The courts are full of people who have lied their way till they've gotten caught. And when they've got caught, they've got to pay up then. They've got to pay up. Truth will always be true, but lies change in order to meet its goals. Lies change from person to person and from place to place. If I say to you, today is Sunday, That's the truth, and it will still be true all today, all day long. It's Sunday. But if I told you today was Saturday, I would not be telling you the truth. Now, the only way that today is not Sunday is because if I'm on the other side of the world where the time is different. But if I'm over there, then I would tell them it's Saturday. But I'm over here, so I tell you it's Sunday, so I'm telling the truth. If I told someone that Jesus went up to Calvary, that would be the truth. No man could pay the price for us that Jesus paid for us. No man but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I even suggested to you another man died for our sin, that would be a lie, and I would be considered teaching false doctrine, would I not? So when you look at the text again and you think about this whole matter, if you even do look at verse number 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil in the that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." But verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. When I look at the truth, and I watch some television shows, and they ask, when they're in court, they ask them to hold up their hand and swear on the Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, I've come to know that many folks still lie in court even after they've taken their oath. I've come to know that men will not always be truthful in their dealings with you. I've come to know that men cannot, some of them cannot be truthful because they're so used to lying. And then, when you think about the matter, if God had not sent Jesus down here into this world, if He had not allowed Him to hang on yonder's cross, if He had not allowed Him to die, hang, bleed, and die on the cross, I asked the question before, where would we be? But I thank God this morning for the truth. On the other hand, getting back to things that I'm telling you. If I told you that heaven is where all those who have been obedient to the Lord shall spend their eternity, that would be the truth about the truth. Won't it be wonderful to hear the Lord say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, well done"? Oh, you need to understand that Matthew 25 had it right when he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, well done." But some of us have got to learn some things about truth. We've got to learn that the truth is the price that we must pay if we want to live a godly life. See, the truth is what puts us with Christ and being obedient to Christ. We first must come to Christ, but we have to live a truthful life in order to stay with Christ. And when you think about it, how easy is it to tell the truth? To tell the truth is a lot easier than to tell a lie. To tell the truth means that I don't have to conjure up something in my mind. See, when I tell a lie, I have to sit down and plot this thing out. And then sometimes I have to pick up the phone and I have to call you to say, "If so-and-so calls, tell them I was with you." And then we conspire to lie together. We conspire, and I'll give you a perfect example from the Bible. Do you remember David? What happened to him when he wanted Bathsheba? Do you remember how he conjured up a lie and how he had to get rid of Bathsheba's husband? How that he sent Bathsheba's husband out to the front line or the hottest spot of the battle? So he conspired to have Uriah the Hittite killed in order that he may have Bathsheba. See, it all started with one little lie. It all started because he wanted something that was not his. He wanted something that he thought that should have been his. But that's the same thing when you lie. When you tell a lie, you want something to go your way, whatever it might be. You want something to be put on you the way you want it to be put on you. You want something to fit your lifestyle or something to fit your mold of whatever you're into right then and there. But I tell you, the truth will never stand. A lie will never stand above the truth. It'll hang there, but it won't stay there. Because there's going to come a point when you must rectify this lie. And some lies don't get rectified before we leave this world, but after we're gone, then we find out, oh, he was just lying all the time. And even though you're gone, people are still going to be talking about you. And we have to learn that. Look at the text again. It tells us very plainly that we've got to have our loins girt about with truth. Truth is real. Truth is not something that you just throw around, something that just becomes, it seems fashionable to do. Truth is forever. Truth is forever. So when you think about it, church, as I come to bring this to a close now, when you think about it, do you want to face the Lord with truth? Or do you want to face him that you having lived your life a lie? Do you want to think about what you have done in your life, whether it was truth or whether it was not truth? How do you want to live your life? There are those who say, well, if I can just continue on in the way that I'm going right now, I'll be all right. Some say, well, nobody will know that I'm not telling the truth, but the truth will catch up with you. The truth shall make you free, according to John 8:32. The truth is good. A lie is not. A lie is not a good thing because you've got to pay for that lie. And sometimes, when you think about it, a lie hurts you. A lie hurts us. A lie can hurt your family. A lie can hurt your church. A lie can hurt your job. A lie can even cause you to lose your job. But the truth, if the truth causes you to lose a job, God will provide. So tell the truth and understand that the truth about truth is truth. The truth about truth is the truth, and there's nothing but the truth. So when I look at this in the big picture, if I'm going to be a Christian, and that's what we're all striving to be as our Christians, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to make sure that I'm being truthful. And so if I tell you from that pulpit there that the world is living in a dangerous time, trust me, it's the truth. If I tell you I know when the day of my demise is going to come, I would be lying to you. If I told you that I know what God is going to do with me, where he's going to send me, I would be telling you a lie. But if I told you that no man knows the day nor the hour, then I would be telling you the truth. If I told you that there was going to be, according to what was quoted this morning in Bible class, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, after death then comes what? The judgment. Then I would be telling you the truth. So what are you saying to me right now, preacher? I'm saying get the truth together and live your life truthful. Now, does that mean that you won't ever, ever, never lie again? No. You'll probably say something that's off key. You'll probably say something that's not totally true. That's what you call those little white lies, where some men like to call them white lies. But again, a white lie is nothing but a white lie is just a whole lie. There's no such thing as a small lie. See, because God doesn't measure lies in size. When you lie, you just lie. And it doesn't make any difference if it was this big or this big. It's still a lie. And we've got to learn to accept the fact that God doesn't play games like that. God loves all of us, but sometimes we don't know how to return our love to him. And if you're not living the truth today, you might want to ask yourself, what should I do in order to live a truthful life? If you've been slack in your service to God, if you've been slack in the promises that God, on the promises that God made to us, if you've been slack in doing what he tells us in order that we might receive, that you might receive those promises, you need to straighten your life up. How do I do that? Well, it's very simple. You come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But somewhere along the line, you did that years ago, you say, but you may have went astray. Well, you can come back home, ask the Lord to forgive you, walk up front and ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 3.